Tonight's message is going to be rather brief, much shorter than last week's and in the weeks to follow, because really what we're doing is we're still in the introductory process of the book of James. I have a two-part introduction, and we gave part one last week, and I really don't want to start lesson one until I can complete it, until I can go through the whole thing. And so that's the reason tonight why this lesson will probably be a little bit shorter, as we're still covering the introduction. But let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And tonight we thank you especially for the book of James. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to have understanding tonight, that we might see the reason behind the writing of this book. Lord, it's not just a bunch of pages that have been put together. But Lord, you put thought and purpose into each of these books. And I pray, Lord, for divine wisdom that we might know how it applies to our life in these last days in which we live. Because, Lord, we also believe that these things were written for us, and not just for a certain group of people who lived a couple of thousand years ago. So we ask for the Holy Spirit and your guidance and your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of James will show you how to live a victorious life. The key word, as we mentioned last week, in the book of James is the word patience. Patience is the key word. It's found particularly in the beginning and the end of the book of James. Those first four verses, although they may seem like an introduction, are very important verses. And in fact, if I were to pick out the key verse in the book of James, I would say it would be verse 4 of chapter 1. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That is the purpose of the book of James, so that you can come to maturity, so that you can come to completeness in Christ, lacking nothing. Now, it's done through trials and tribulations and responding correctly to them, responding with patience, with patience. I'd like you all to say James chapter 1 and verse 1 with me tonight, if you have your Bible there. Let's quote it together. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. We are not going to get any further than that verse tonight. We're going to look at the name James for quite a while. And we're going to look at the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. And we're going to see if that has any New Testament reference. Or is it just the 12 tribes that we find in the Old Testament? Is it just a Jewish book? Or does it apply to the Christian as well? Those are some things that we will consider. The design of the book of James is very intriguing. What James did in the design of his book really, as I thought about it, showed tremendously the divine inspiration of God. What did James do in the design of his book through the power and working of the Holy Spirit in inspiration? The name James is Ichabos. And what's interesting is that it is the same as the Old Testament Hebrew word for Jacob. So the name James, therefore, is the Greek word for Jacob. The New Testament name James, the Old Testament name for James would have been Jacob. James is the New Testament of the Hebrew word Jacob. Is there anything significant about that? What is significant about that? Well, I'd like you to turn back, if you would, to Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49, we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. One of the easier books to find, right at the beginning there. Chapter 49, verses 1 and 2, "And Jacob called unto his sons and said, Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel, your father. So what happens here is Jacob gathers his 12 sons together before he dies. He gathers his sons over him, and that was typical. They would give them a family blessing. And as Jacob calls his sons together, he begins to prophesy over them. He prophesies over his 12 sons who were to be the fathers of the 12 tribes of natural Israel. In prophecy, he deals with each one, as we will look at. He deals with each son, each one prophetically, and he gives them warnings of characteristics and weaknesses of character which would cause them to miss God's blessing. He said, I'm going to warn you about some things. I know some character deficiencies in your life, and I'm going to warn you that if you persist in those deficiencies, you are going to miss out on God's purposes and God's blessing for your life. For example, he comes to Reuben and he says, Reuben, you're as unstable as water. You have the characteristic of instability, and if you don't change that characteristic, if you don't stop being so unstable and you get some stability in your life, then you're going to blow it. And you're going to miss out on what God has for you in your life. He's Simeon, you have a problem as well. You have a problem with uncontrolled anger. And if you don't learn how to control that anger, then you too will miss out on the blessings that God has for you. Jacob deals with son after son like that. He deals with Levi and he says, you know, you're filled with self-will. He comes to Dan and he says, Dan, you have an unmerciful spirit. With Gad, it was that he was unready for battle. Asher, greed is a part of your characteristic. Naphtali, you have an independent spirit. Benjamin, you have strife in your heart. And he goes through each one and he says, sons, these are characteristics in you. These are weaknesses that I see in you. These are things that I see in you that you need to change. And if you don't change, then you are going to miss out on God's purposes. You're going to have to change these characteristics or you will not fulfill God's purpose for your life. And so there's a prophetic word over each son about the characteristics and the weaknesses that will cause them to miss God's purposes if these warnings go unheeded. Now, these prophecies, this was given by Jacob to his 12 sons in the 20th century BC. The sad story is that these sons became the fathers of the 12 tribes of natural Israel. And they did fail in the purpose God had for them. These warnings that Jacob gave them, for the most part, they went unheeded. And we'll be able to trace that through the Old Testament. Consequently, son after son and their seed after them reproduced the character weaknesses in one another. And so Israel did not fulfill God's purpose and sinned and continued to sin and worship other gods. So consequently, they did not live up to the purpose God had for them. They had failed. Now God comes to the New Testament church. He comes to the New Testament Jacob. He comes to James, and if you notice, they're both warning the 12 tribes. They're both warning the 12 tribes. Now James, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greeting. So both Jacob and James are writing to the 12 tribes. But the New Testament church is spiritual Israel. So James, whose name means Jacob, is the Jacob of the New Testament. We read in Genesis 49:1 that the Old Testament Jacob called his sons together and began to prophesy over them. Notice that he said, I'm going to prophesy about that which will befall you in the last days. That makes it very interesting, right there at the end of verse 1 of chapter 49, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. So there is a dual purpose here. there is the prophesying over the natural sons, the 12 sons, but there's also a prophecy that has something to do with the last days. The last days did not begin until the time of Jesus Christ. We are living in the last of the last days. So the Old Testament warning was taken by James in the New Testament, and he warns, as we will see, of the same things and of the same character traits. And he takes them in the same order that Jacob in the Old Testament did. And the sad thing is that Israel did fail. Those 12 sons did fail. But there's a challenge now for us as New Testament children of God that we heed the warning and we do not fail. Because this was really the crux of the matter for us living in these last days. It seems strange at first because Jacob of the Old Testament is prophesying over his sons, dealing with these characteristics and weaknesses. And yet at the same time, it's something that's reserved for the last days. We call it a veiled reference concerning New Testament truth. So let me just kind of repeat this. I want to make sure you get this because this is going to be very important for us. Genesis 49 is saying that this has something to do with the people of the last days. With that prophetic picture, James comes in the last days to repeat the same warning. James follows the exact same order through the entire book of James that Jacob did in Genesis 49 when he prophesied the characteristic weaknesses on his sons. Okay, Reuben was that he was unstable. That will be the first characteristic that we will also look at in the book of James, instability. Now, God is going to have, I really believe God is going to have a people in the last days. He is going to have a people. He's going to have a remnant that will follow him. It may seem like we're the only ones sometimes. You know, like Elijah felt that. I alone have not bowed the knee to Baal. And God says, no, I have, wasn't it 7,000 others reserved that have not bowed the knee? God is going to have a people. And there's going to be a character change that takes place in the lives of God's people in the last days. And remember the message this morning and tie it in with tonight. There's going to be trials. There's going to be tests. Why? So that we can become like Christ, so that we can have the power to fulfill God's purposes in these last days in which we live, and the last days before the return of Jesus Christ. So we who are the sons of spiritual Israel need to listen and know that there will be character changes that are required and made in each one of us. This is the last warning. The book of James is the last warning. This is the last time for the sons of Israel to get it right. And we will see that although God will have a people, if we as individuals don't allow the character changes to take place, we will miss out on what God is doing. This character change will come about through the testing process. Again, it's interesting to note that in James 1:1, the book is addressed to the 12 tribes who are scattered abroad. Shows that James, through the revelation of the Holy Spirit, is aware of the fact that what he is giving in this book relates to the 12 tribes of Jacob that he gave in his prophetic picture in Genesis 49. The book of James is structured there so similar to Genesis chapter 49 that it's incredible when you begin to see that truth. Okay, so James follows the theme of Jacob's message to his sons to emphasize the characteristics in the exact order as Jacob gives in Genesis 49, which must be in the sons of spiritual Israel, and the weaknesses to be averted if we are to fulfill God's purposes. So as we go through this, there will be some things that you need to add to your life and there will be other things that you need to take out. Okay? There are some characteristics that are going to be positive. I need this positive quality. I need this positive character in my life. There will be other things that we will see. We need to avert those things. We need to stay away from them. And if we have those characteristics and those weaknesses, we need to change them. I've said it before, the book of James is a very practical book. It's going to help you with areas in your life that you struggle with. It'll help you with instability. It'll help you grow in faith. It'll help you overcome anger. It'll help you recognize self-will and surrender to the Lord. It's a very practical book. The book of James is addressed to you. You are part of the spiritual sons of Israel. It's addressed to you. So James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to you, you may put your name in there. The Old Testament, Jacob's message to his sons of natural Israel is so that they do not fail. They failed. The New Testament, Jacob's message to his sons of spiritual Israel is so they do not fail. The jury is still out. Will we fail? Will we be victorious? We have no excuse. It's laid out there plain for us. If we follow, if we learn from the book of James, we will be victorious Christians. And so what I simply want to do tonight with this message is to get you to the place where you say, God, I am willing to be honest before you as we go through this book. I am, as the Holy Spirit shows me, I am willing to get rid of the character that I don't need, or the weaknesses that I don't need. And I'm willing to make the character changes that are required of me so that I can fulfill God's purposes in these last days. Could you just bow your hearts before the Lord tonight? And would you tell him that just now, right where you are at? Lord, would you show me areas of weakness? Would you show me things that I need to change? Would you show me things in areas of my life that I need to strengthen? Give me grace to go through the test so that I can fulfill your purposes in my life. I hope that's everyone here. I hope that's your prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, I know that as we go through this, it won't always be easy. It won't always be pleasant. Sometimes it's uncomfortable when the Holy Spirit puts his finger on an area of our life. We know we need to change. And change isn't always easy for us, but change is necessary. And I believe that it's the goal of everyone here to be changed into the character and the image of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we open ourselves up to your Holy Spirit, that he would search us and try us. Show us which way things we do are pleasing to you, and show us the areas of our life that are not pleasing. Show us places where we need cleansing. Show us places where we need transformation. Give us grace. And Lord, we look forward to what the Holy Spirit will do in and through each and every one of us as we submit to you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh God, and renew a right spirit. I'll dismiss us. Lord, we do thank you for this evening. Thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, there would be a right spirit within each of us. Lord, a teachable spirit, a spirit that is open to your spirit. Lord, that we would be able to hear what your spirit would say to us, that our spirit would be open and not closed to your voice. Have your way with each of us. Lord, we realize that when we are submitted to you, we really do have joy. And Lord, help us all to live in that joy, in your presence. For in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.